Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. Can you hear me?
Today, we can hear you well. Thank you. I just had to say the word that God gave me this morning is coming out of the New Testament. And it is, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. And then as I was listening, I was reading, the word all I could think of was our children. This Sunday, all will sing again that sang on last Friday. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then I love the word, Jesus is the light. I'm going to let him shine. We got to let Jesus shine. We got to move forward in the word of God and know that Jesus is the light. And we have to let him shine in our hearts. Let him shine in our minds. Let him shine in our spirit. And so I'm just grateful again. Great word this morning. A lot going on. Totally get over to Mother Valerie this morning to pray us in, because I'm going to tell you, she was doing real good yesterday as she was imitating what she felt David would say, Ezra, Ezra. I thought, oh, I got to hear that again, because David lost his mind. He lost his mind. You know, these people fight for you. These people stood by you. You worried about the one that tried to kill you and take your throne. I understand he was your son. I understand you loved your son. But as David has to get told off a little bit today, you know, you understand where I'm going. David had to kind of get put in the place to make him understand how he was sounding and how it was looking to all those that went out and fought for him, that he was looking very unappreciative. He was looking like they just did all this for me. Well, really, they did it for God. But yet I'm laying here hollering and screaming and acting like this child was so loving and kind to me, where instead he plotted to get rid of me. And so their feelings are hurt. They're having some hurt feelings here. And so David's going to have to deal with that hurt feeling of his constituents, that hurt feelings of his soldiers, of his men of war that followed him, that fought for him, that are always there for him and have been with him since the time of Saul. So, Mother Valerie, I am turning it over to you to pray us in this morning. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and saying good morning, because I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm truly blessed to be with all of you today with my co-host, Mother Valerie. Like I said, call a friend, text a friend, tell them Pastor Bridget and Mother Valerie are on the air this morning. Let's see what happens. Hallelujah. In God's word as we move forward. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Good morning. Good morning, saints, and good morning, God. Lord, I want to thank and praise you for this day. I want to thank and praise you for waking us up. Thank and praise you for the sunshine. For this is the day you've made. We shall rejoice and give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Good morning, saints of God and people of God. I'm reading in 2 Samuel, chapter 20. It said, and there happened to be there a rebel whose name was Sheba.
Chapter 19, Mother. Excuse me. Starting in chapter 19.
Oh, okay, 2 Samuel 19. And Joab was told, Behold, the king is weeping, mourning for Absalom. So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people. For the people heard it, said that day, the king is grieved for his son. People stole back into the city that day as people who are ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried out with a loud voice, "Oh, my son Absalom! Oh, Absalom, my son, my son!" So you see again that David is crying out for his son, and he's making all the people feel that they did something wrong. I mean, they won the battle, and they killed the king's enemy, and he's still crying out for his son. So they steal back into the city. It said the king is grieved for his son. Absalom, Absalom. Joab came in the house to see the king and said, "Today you have disgraced all your servants who today have saved your life. For the lives of your sons and the daughters, the lives of your wives, the lives of your concubines, in that you love your enemy and hate your friends." I mean, that's what it seemed like. That he loved Absalom. Absalom was stealing the kingdom from him. And that's what Joab told him. "You have disgraced all your servants who have today saved your life, your daughters, your wives, your concubines. And you love your enemies, hate your friends. For you have declared today that you regard neither prince nor servants. For today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, then it would have pleased you well." He said, "David, I don't understand you." He said, "Now therefore, arise, go out and speak comfort to your servant. For I swear by the Lord, if you don't go out, not one will stay with you this night. And that would be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now." And then the king arose, sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, "There is the king sitting in the gate." So all the people came before the king, for every one of Israel had fled to his tents. Where they were scared and that they had did something wrong when they went out and fought for David. I mean, he made them feel like that. Now all the people were in a dispute throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us from the hand of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled from the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, have died in battle. Now, therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king?" So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, "Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Since the words of all Israel have come to the king to his very house, you are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king and say to Amaz, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also if you are not commander of the army before me continually in the place of Joab." So he swayed the hearts of all the men in Judah, just as the heart of one man. So they sent this word to the king, "Return, you and all your servants." Then the king returned and came to the Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgad to go to meet the king, to escort the king across the Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, who was from Bahurim, Herod, and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There was 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him, and they went over the Jordan before the king. Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, "Do not let my lord impute iniquity to me or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem." "Oh, yeah, I remember what he did, and everybody else remember what he did. He cursed the king and threw rocks at him. He said that the king should take it to heart, for I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first come today, of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? He said, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. And when David was being escorted from the city, he cursed God's anointed, threw rocks at him. And God didn't tell him to do that. I think he did it on his own. David said, what have I to do with you, you son of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, you should not die. And the king swore to him. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes, from the day that the king departed into the day he returned in peace. Oh, my God, he must have been smelling and looking horrible. I mean, if you don't wash every day, but he hadn't done any of these things. So it was.
Well, and also, Mother, excuse me just a moment. And also, you got to stop and think, but Mephibosheth has a disability. So it's hard for him to do these things on his own, too. And remember, Ziba lied on him. Said that, you know, he said, this life, my family is going to be, you know, get our stuff back, and I'm paraphrasing. You know, like Mephibosheth returned against David when he had not. You didn't get him. And so you lied on him. Yet you're going to still get rewarded. So Ziba wasn't all the way honest either. Anyway, I turn it back over to you.
Amen. Amen. He hadn't washed his clothes from the day that the king departed into the day he returned in peace. So it was when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king, king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, O Lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go to the king, because your servant is lame. And he slandered your servant to my lord, that the king, but my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore, do what is good in your eyes. For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servants among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right have I still to cry out any more to the king? King said to him, why do you speak any more of your matters? Why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, rather let him take it all, inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house. And Mephibosheth, the Gibeonite, came down from Rogan, went across Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. He had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Mahana, for he was a very rich man. King said to Bilasa, come across with me. I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to king, how long have I lived that I should go with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Well, in 3 months, I'll be 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and the bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing man, singing woman? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. And why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city, near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant, Shimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king, and do for him what seems good to you. King answered, Shimham shall cross over with me. I will do for him what seems good to you. Now, whatever you request of me, I will do for you. Then all the people went over the Jordan. When the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. He returned to his own place. Now the queen king went on to Gilgad, and Shilhan went on with him. all the people of Judah escorted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Just then all the men of Israel came to the king, said to the king, why have your brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king, his household, and all of David's men with him across the Jordan? So all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is a close relative of ours. Why then are you angry over this matter? Have we ever eaten at the king's expense? Or has he given us any gift? Men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 shares in the king. Therefore, we also have more right to David than you. Their organ over the king, who has the more right to the king? Why then do you despise us? Were we not the first to advise bringing back our king? Yet the words of the men of Judah was fierce than the words of the men of Israel. I mean, they're arguing over who have more right to bring the king back. Wow. Now I'm going to read Life's Lesson, 2 Samuel 19:4. Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. The sword continued to vile David's house, as Nathan had predicted. God's promises always come true, whether for blessing or for judgment. If God says something, it has to come true. Now, it might not come true today, tomorrow, next week, maybe 2 years, 3 years. I mean, look at David. He was just a shepherd boy. He was a boy. And he didn't become king over Israel until he was 30 years old. So whatever God predict, whatever God say, it's got to come to pass. It has to come to pass because look who's speaking it. Jehovah, Abba, the great I Am. If he states something or says something, it will come to pass. No matter how long you have to wait for it, it will come to pass. And it said it's going to come to pass whether for blessing or for judgment, it have to come to pass. Now I'm reading chapter 20. And there happened to be a rebel whose name was Sheba, the son of Bashur, a Benjamite. He blew a trumpet and said, we have no share in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tent, O Israel. Well, he didn't want to bless David. And he said, we don't have any share in David. So every man of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, the son of Bashur. But the men of Judah from Jordan as far as Jerusalem, they remained loyal to the king. Now David came to his house in Jerusalem. The king took the 10 women, concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, put them in seclusion, supported them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood. Oh, my goodness. I don't think I would have liked that. But that's what he did. He supported them, but his concubines, he never did have sex with them, never did go into them, and they lived to the day of their death. They lived in widowhood as if David didn't exist anymore. King said to Amaz, assemble the men of Judah for me within 3 days and be present there yourself. So Amaz went to assemble the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time where David had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, now Sheba, the son of Bashur, will do more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities. Escape thus. Wow. So they were after him. They're going to kill him properly. Wow. So Joab's men with the Kerphites and the Pethos and all the mighty men went out after him. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Bashur. When they were at the Lord's stone, which is in Gibeon, a match came before them. Now Joab was dressed in battle armor. On it was a belt with a sword, fastened in its sheath at its hips. And as he was going forward, it fell out. Joab said to Ahimaaz, are you in health, my brother? And Joab took Ahimaaz by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Ahimaaz did not notice the sword that was in Joab's hand. He struck him in the stomach, and his entrails poured out on the ground, and he did not strike him again, thus he died. Now, you know, that's real, real deception. It's just like Judah betrayed the Lord with the kiss. And he's pretending to kiss the man, and then took a sword and stuck him in the stomach, betrayed with the kiss. And that's the same thing that happened to our Lord. I mean, you have to be careful who you think your friends are. He said you only have a few friends. But he killed them. And Joab took that mess by his beard, with his right hand to kiss him. I think that's a horrible way to die. Somebody gonna kiss you, and instead stuck him in the stomach. He killed him. Joab and Bishael, his brother, pursued Shimei, the son of Bethur. Meanwhile, one of Joab's men stood near Ahimaaz and said, whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, follow Joab. But Ahimaaz wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway. When the men saw that all the people stood still, he moved Ahimaaz from the highway to the field, threw a garment over him. When he saw that everyone who came up on him halted, when he was removed from the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bashir. Went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel and Beth Mehah and all of the Berites. So they were gathered together and also went after Sheba. Then they came and besieged him and Ava of Beth Mehah. And they cast up a siege mount around the city, stood by the rampart. And all the people who were with Joab battled the walls to throw it down. And wise woman cried out from the city, hear, hear, please say to Joab, come nearby, that I may speak with you. When he had came near to her, the woman said, are you Joab? He answered, I am. Then she said to him, hear the words of your maidservant. And he answered, I'm listening. And so she spoke, saying, they used to talk in former times, saying, they shall surely seek a guardians at Abel, and so they would in dispute. I am among the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me, that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not so, but a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bashir by the name, has raised his hand against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. So the woman said to Joab, watch, his head will be thrown to you over the wall. Then the woman in her wisdom went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bashir, and threw it out to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. Joab was over all the army of Israel. Benaiah, the son of Jehoshaphat, was over the Tyrannites and the Pethonites. Adon was in charge of revenue. Jehoshaphat, the son of Adud, was a recorder. Shevi was scribe. Zodak and Avatar were the priests. Iran, the Jerahite, was chief minister under David. You know, in Israel, they had war over David. Some people said they had a share in David, and other people said they didn't have a share in David. Some people loved King David, and some of the people didn't love him. Eventually, all of them came together, but David went through a lot. He went through a lot from being that shepherd boy until he became king over all of Israel at the age of 30. So, God said the sword would never leave his house. And the thing that his son his son did to him, I think it grieves him more than anything, because that's just like God. God loves us that much. And David loved, he loved his son. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son. And they said, you care more about your enemies? You wish that all of us had died and Absalom had lived? And he realized that if he didn't comfort the people would actually leave him. And I don't blame the people. You know, they went out to fight just to bring him back as king over Israel. And then he's sitting up there crying more, like I said, for the enemy. Absalom, even though it was his son, he was an enemy. So this is, I mean, it's really something. You have to be careful who you make your friends. And just like the man going up there to kiss him, held him by his beard. Now, that's being really close. Held him by his beard. And then instead of kissing him, he stabs him in the stomach. I mean, you just don't expect something like that from a friend. You really don't. And so your friends can get to you better than your enemies. So you have to be really, really careful who you make and call your friends. Now I'm going to turn this back over into the hands of our pastor. Wow.
Good morning. I mean, good morning again. Great word, Mother Valerie. And, you know, as I was listening to you and you were talking about Amasa and Joab, David told him, Amasa, I need you back in 3 days. He didn't come back in those 3 days. He delayed. And because of his delay, David had to get some other people. And Joab was the one that he got. And so Joab, I think, you know, because Joab is starting to, as they say back in the day, Joab is starting to smell himself. Because, you know, he went, you know, went and spoke to the king harshly. And so now, you know, I think he's starting to think that he is in charge of stuff. So, you know, we're going to have to keep an eye on Joab as we go through this word. And so I think that it was because Amasa didn't do what the king told him to do is why he, you know, killed him like he did.
My goodness.
Because he asked him. You know, when he came up, he asked him. You know, and it tells you that when he comes up, Amasa came before them when they were at a large stone, which is in Gibeon. Now, David told them where to come, and he didn't do that. So he meets them in Gibeon, came before them. Now, Joab was dressed in battle armor. On it was a belt with a sword fastened in its sleeve at his hip, and as he was going forward, he fell out. Then Joab said to Amasa, are you in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand and kissed him. But Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Joab's hand, and he struck him with it in the stomach. Joab was like, you must be sick to come up in here all late. David told you 3 days, and this is maybe day 4 or 5, and here you show up, get ready to go to battle. Mm-mm. Not happening, because remember, Joab was in charge of the army. And he couldn't have anybody not doing what the king told him to do. So anyway, that was just my interpretation. But Joab was a hot mess too. Let's call it like it was. And Joab had, as they say, he had them papers against David, where David told him to put Uriah on the front line. So Joab had the blackmail. That's why Joab could get away with some of the stuff that he got away with is because he had papers on David. He had all the evidence that David had done some shenanigans and done some dirt, and that David had got that man killed. So Joab was not somebody that you wanted to play with, because Joab had all kind of stuff on you. That's why folks better understand, when you tell all your business to a friend and they have all the stuff on you, be careful how you talk to them, because you don't know, they will take your stuff and run with it And David knew Joab was dangerous. I'm just going to call it. He was dangerous. And we just saw how he cold-bloodedly killed this man. We know how, you know, when David was trying to bring the kingdom together, Joab went out again and killed somebody. You know, we got to be, you know, Joab is somebody that you can't trust. Not at all. But anyway, let's get into our psalm this morning. And it is a psalm of a chief musician, to the chief musician, on stringed instrument, a psalm. And I love this. And it says, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And I believe his face is Jesus. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously, the God and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples shall yield our increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And that is beautiful. That is a beautiful word. And as we go to the life lesson, it says, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. We want God shining upon us. We want Jesus shining upon us. We want to praise God. We want to praise him. We want to see his glorious light shining on us. And it says, a sinner saved by grace, we all need God's mercy. We all need his blessing. And life goes much better when his face shines upon us. So why not ask him for all three, as the psalmist did? And what he asked for? Mercy, blessing, and for God's face to shine upon us. Be merciful, bless us, and let your face shine upon us. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. We ask for grace, thanking God this morning. And as we go into our proverb today, it is simply Proverbs 16:33-17:1. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. You know, sometimes it's better just to be by yourself than being a group of people always fussing and fighting and nobody getting along. You know, you're like, oh, this is too much. You know, you Amen. Get tired of all the fussing and fighting. You know, you want just the peace and quiet. We have to all remember that. You know, God wants us to have that peace. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feces with strife. That is something to think about. You know, why we wonder why some people just like to be by themselves. We don't know that they may have come from a household of strife, and they have come to the point where they just rather be by themselves than to hear a whole lot of drama. And as we continue, in our word for today is coming out of John chapter 8. And it is simply that the light, woo, that light, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, is our word for this morning. You know, David had to follow light, which is God. and so do we. We know that light is Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. As they say, the
Amen.
Jesus David. You know, behold, he comes riding on the cloud. Hallelujah. Shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the day of Jubilee. We got to
Amen.
Know who Jesus is, and he is that little light of mine that I'm going to let shine. You know, we are knowing that Jesus is the light, and I'm going to let him shine as our children sing. I love that song. So let's get into the word this morning. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early, Jesus didn't play. He was up early in the morning, just like us.
Amen.
You know, he was up early, and he prayed all the time. You know, folks get tired. I just come to church and praying for 2 minutes. Oh, I'm ready to go. I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm gone. I don't need to be here no hour. I don't need to be here all day. Not understanding that Jesus was a prayer warrior. Jesus was a prayer warrior. He prayed constantly. Everybody thought he was with his master choir. But Jesus took, as I say, he went to his quiet time. He went to his mountain closet. He went up and he prayed on a regular. That's what he did. He was on the 40 days that he was in the wilderness fasting and praying. When he was tempted by Satan, he was fasting. Ready for what he had to do. And again, fasting and prayer. And it says that early in the morning, he came again into the temple and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. In the very act. Every time I hear this story, she was caught in the very act. Then where is the man she was caught in the very act with? Freeing her. Where's him? In the word when God gave the law. He said both of them should die. Didn't he not, mother?
Amen.
You're going to bring the woman. The man.
Amen.
And I love this. And Moses in the law, then they're going to bring up Moses. Not putting in the whole law. They're going to take the law and bend it. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned.
My God.
Yeah, he did. But he also said that they should be stoned. Not just us. But what do you say? This they said, testing him. That they might have something of which to accuse them. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. That those who heard it being convicted by their conscience went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, then neither do I. Because then you go and sin no more. Because Jesus was like, the next time, sweetheart, I won't be here to save you. The next time you sin in this way, you're probably going to die. Because I will not be here to right the sins of all those that are accusing you, probably including the one you were causing adultery with. So it wasn't me. It was all her fault. I just fell into it. I tripped and fell, and she just happened to be at the bottom and caught me. And but it wasn't me. It was her. It was all her. being caught in adultery by yourself. This woman was going to take the blame for her and the man, because in the law, Moses said both should be stoned. Not one, but both. And they was trying to pull one on Jesus. And I believe as he was writing down, okay, Mr. Johnson, you was with Mrs. Jones on February 14th when you should have been with Mrs. Johnson, and Mrs. Jones should have been with Mr. Jones, but y'all had a thing going on. You knew what was wrong. Come on now. You know, hey, Jesus had to write it all down. And I think that he was convicting the oldest because I had been around a lot longer to see it, because Jesus didn't play. And let's keep it moving. And it said, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am who I love, the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I came from and where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you, what you will die in your sins. But if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And there is only one Father, and he is Jehovah. He is Almighty God. John, a life lesson from John 8 and 11. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus is gracious and merciful, but he never ceases to be holy. He calls us to a life of holiness and obedience to his Father, and he gives us the spiritual resources we need to walk in righteousness. And this is a life question, something to think about this morning. Why does God tell us to avoid evil and sin no more? Those who hope that God will tolerate a little sinfulness also tend to tolerate sinfulness in themselves, to the point that they do nothing about their sin, even though they recognize it as wrong. But we all are sinful. You may protest, we all fall short of perfection. True enough, Romans 3:23 says plainly, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But recognizing our sin should compel us to do something about it. When we understand that we have sinned, we need to come to the Father and say, I need your forgiveness. Please wash me and make me clean in your sight. when we recognize we have committed a trespass against our neighbors or that we have sinned against God, we should not casually brush aside our offense as if to say, well, that's just my human nature. We all have heard people say, well, I just keep it real. Well, I just keep it real. Now, you done told somebody up with that wicked little tongue, but you just keep it real. I keep it real. Okay. We got to be careful what we do and what we say. Your tongue is a two-edged sword. It can chop up some folks. It can chop up some things. You can make somebody feel less than an ant on the pavement. But one thing we don't understand is that ant is mighty. That ant can build a city. That ant can carry so much more of its weight than you could ever imagine. But yet, we want to treat people like they're nothing when God knows everybody is something. And it goes on to tell us, when we recognize we have committed a trespass against our neighbor or that we have sinned against God, we should not casually brush aside our offense as if to say, well, that's just my human nature. Whether we need to come to God and say, I have sinned, have mercy upon me, transform me, Lord, into the likeness of Christ so that I won't desire to do this again. The song we sing on Sunday, holiness. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Take my mind, transform it. Take my heart. No, take my heart, transform it. Take my mind, conform it. Take my will. I believe it's my soul. It's our mind, our heart. Take my heart and mold it. There it is. Take my heart and mold it. Take my mind. Transform it. Take my will.
Amen.
Conform it to yours.
That's beautiful.
Oh, Lord. And that's what we have a holiness in our heart, a way for God to use us. Lord, use me for your glory. Take my heart. Take my mind. Take my will, God. But we want to be like you. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 19:20 states, you shall put away the evil from among you, and those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit the evil among you. Centuries later, Jesus told a woman caught in the act of blatant sin, go and sin no more. Facing the fact that we are sinful creatures is not the same as tolerating sin in our lives. And nowadays we tolerate, you know, you name it, we are tolerating it. And then get offended when someone says, that's sinful. That's not right with God. Well, I can do me. You do you and I'll do me. Because I got a right to do what makes me feel good. Okay, what's wrong is wrong. What's right is right. I'm not judging. God is the judge. Even Jesus did what he said. I come from where I am. I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone. And it told us right there we judge with the flesh. We can't judge anybody. But we can surely say, that's not right. That's not right. Because, again, right is right, wrong is wrong. And I know there are some that say, well, what's right in my eyes may be wrong in your eyes. What I might like, you may not like. That's true. Each and every one of us individually have to stand before God. And the question will become, did you speak up? Did you say that was wrong? That was wrong to be prejudiced. That was wrong to be bigoted. That was wrong to be a narcissistic. That was wrong to call someone out of their name. That was wrong to talk about your mama, your sister, your brother, your daddy. My daddy, he was just one low down daddy dog. And I hope he's roasting in hell. Right. When he hurt my husband, I'm glad he's dead. Not right. We got to forgive. We got to let go and let God. You can't walk around with hatred in your heart because it is sinful. Faith in the fact that we are sinful creatures is not the same as tolerating sin in our lives. The scripture teaches us that God desires for us to hate sin and its consequences and to turn from evil at every opportunity. We are not to imitate evil. We are not to embrace evil. We are not to flirt with evil. We are not to be curious about evil. Rather, we are to turn our backs on it and run from it at full speed. You know, there was a show on one of the channels called Lucifer. Why in God's green earth would you watch something called Lucifer?
Never. Seriously. Never.
You know, and they tried to make the devil look good. The devil is the devil. And Lucifer is Lucifer. He was kicked the heck out of heaven. God didn't play. And we shouldn't be playing and dibbling and dabbling in that. Well, I just like it. It's just a show. No.
No. No, no,
that's
no.
Just like the one that they had some years ago called 666 Park Avenue.
No,
you know
no,
that
no.
Building is in fact owned by the president, the ex-president, son-in-law, Jared Kushner, owned 666 Park Avenue. You better understand what you think is just a show can be somebody's reality. We better be careful. You've got to be careful. Why does God want you to flee from evil? Because he desires to protect you from sins. Terrible consequences. The Lord can look into the future and see what you will reap when you sow sinfulness. Remember, you never receive only what you sow as a seed of sin. That seed produces a harvest of sinful consequences. Anguish,
my
trial, heartache, adversity. You will receive from your sinful deeds a negative consequence, compounding interest. Simple seed multiplies just as good seed multiplies. God is watching everything we do, and he is writing it down in the book of life. The question is, where does your story end?
Amen.
Does it end in the kingdom, or does it end in the pits of hell with the fire of eternity? I don't like heat like that. I don't like cold like that. I like it just right. And I know if I can make it into them narrow gates, if I can be that bride with my extra oil, ready to go in when the bridegroom comes, that I'm going to be just right. Hallelujah. And this is a word for today. And then we will have a word for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then it will be a wrap. This is lesser things. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 in our SB. Lord, my life is submitted to yours. As I abide in your goodness, kindness leads me to the truth of who you are. You are so incredibly good. Father, may my life be so embedded in yours that everything that stands against your character would be clear to me. I want to spend my life on the things that matter. Help me to be aligned with your compassion. Lord, as a vessel of your kindness to everyone I come into contact with, may my family know your love for them because of the way I treat them. May my friends see how generous you are, in the reflection of my own generosity toward them. I know that if I write the law of your loyal love on my heart, it will be evident in my life as I choose your ways every day. And the question is, what kingdom values are evident in your life? Are you generous? Are you kind? Are you compassionate? Do you care about your fellow man? Or are you self-looking at everything we do? And we have to keep trusting and believing in him. And as we go into our word this morning from Sister Carolyn, it is simply this. When God speaks to you, come on, Sister Carolyn, he does so from where you are going, not where you are. Have a wonderful Wednesday. What did Jesus say? Go and sin no more. But he said also, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Go and sin no more. Jesus told the woman, and he tells us who he is. He is the light of this world. And he doesn't want us to go backwards. He wants us to go forward. When God speaks to you, he does so from where you are going, not where you are. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other in Jesus' name. We pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Stay in the presence of God and watch him work in your life. Let him be the light that shines on you today. He will keep you out of darkness. For he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Let Jesus be the light. Let him shine. Let him shine. Let him shine. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Mother Valerie?
You know what? They say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus is the light of the world. He really is.
Amen.
And this is a wrap.
It's a wrap. Have a blessed day, everybody. Keep God first and let that light in you shine bright. So whoever sees you sees the light of God in you. Have a great day, family. Mother, what is it? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It is a wrap.